Pilgrim Psalms, Psalm 134. All right, let's all stand, please. Just a couple of, bookkeeping. Next Sunday night, I'll do a kind of a message summarizing some of the things we've talked about. Not summarizing, but somewhat concluding. It will be on all of them and none of them, if that makes sense. It won't be about one psalm. Easter, we will not be here on Sunday night. We will have a couple of special guests coming up over the next month to two. I would ask you to pray for one of those guests. One of them is Dr. Marriott, scheduled for the second week of April. And Judy? I know he wants to come, and I told him, you can cancel that morning. That's fine. I'll be ready to preach, so, you know, if not me, Dada, you and Tim, I'll let you guys tag team. I'd love to have Dr. Marriott here. He's really struggling. And then a couple weeks later, we like his wife and children anyhow. Troy and Oksana will be here. It's been a while. I think it's been 3 years or something, and they wanted to come over, so they'll be here. We'll get to see what's going on around the world in Bible translation and see those two handsome sons of theirs. So towards the end of the month, May, we'll have one of our missionaries here. Scott Willequette will be here also. So that'll be down the road. Psalm 134. Psalm 134, just so three verses. It is so simple that it's never going to be anybody's favorite psalm. And it's highly kind of debated because the psalm can be read in two totally different ways, kind of totally different ways. It can be read simply talking to the believers that arrive in Jerusalem, or it can also have implications of the priest that are there, both praising God and giving a benediction. I'm going to speak on this psalm as if it's just worshipers coming to worship. Can kind of go either way. It's pretty ambiguous. Verse 1, behold, or in this case, the word hine, which means behold, but hine also in Hebrew means when you go down the list, Bill, hine, Sam, hine, I'm here. It also in this kind of a context kind of means now. Now that you're here, he says, bless ye the Lord. All ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Again, this could be priest, but within the whole context, I think the focus is going to be on the people that come to worship. Verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. So you find the full circle on the blessings of God. Now, friends, let me say this. I'm going to try to get done by 7 p.m. I'm not going to be in a hurry. This is 100% fun. If you're here and alive, you are going to hear one of the greatest quotes ever made about this subject. And I don't say that lightly. From C.S. Lewis. He's going to say, I have his quote in here. It's, there are things tonight that you can learn that will help you in your life. Because look at me, here's your problem, and I said your problem, because you are like me. We have a very difficult time, all of us, when we finally get wherever we're going to enjoy it. And if you can, by the way, I think it's part of our fallen human nature, that we finally get where we're finally happy, and we're not happy. You're now in Jerusalem. Look at me. You have come from faraway countries. You're finally there. What do you do? That's what we're going to talk about. This is a sermon that's not going to be mean to you, but we're going to deal with things that deal with the things that are hard to get your hands around. Because I say again, Jenny, how many times you don't remember the specifics probably, how many times do you think we have been at the airport in Cancun? People spent tons of money to go to Cancun, Mexico. We've never done it. You should go there with a video camera and watch people after they've had a week or two of fun. Most of them are angry, upset, sunburned, hateful. And we get over in the corner and laughing because we know how to take a vacation. And one of the things you do when you take a vacation is you enjoy where you're at, look at me, and you don't plan every single moment. You actually give yourself breathers to do what? It's just nice to soak it up. That's what we're talking about tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray together, and then we will get started. Father, help me this evening. Bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many years ago, it seems like two, but it's probably been 15, my wife and I went on a vacation for our first time to the Southwest. Timothy, Tom, does Southwest mean anything to you? Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, that's the four corners. We went to the Southwest, and we were meeting up, and yes, Jim, I'm still jealous, with some of my favorite people, Tony and Rachel Cardenas. They drove from some place called San Antonio, and they met us north of Tucson. Friends, if you want to go on a vacation with somebody and enjoy yourself, they're the people to do it with. Well, we met with them, we did some things, and after a few days, we drove up further north, and we went to the Grand Canyon. I still remember very well. I'd never been there before. I've only been there once. We had rented a vehicle. They were driving their truck. We drove in, and by the way, after we paid two arms and three legs to get into the park. Now, it doesn't cost me that anymore, Jim, because I am a retired guy, so or something. I'm old guy, I think is what it means. 60 or older. But anyhow, we pulled in, friends. Can I ask you a question? You're at the Grand Canyon. What do you do now? Have you ever heard the joke? Young guys, this is the AAA male personality or the male OCD. Are you ready? They have driven from Maine all the way to the Grand Canyon. They have driven their wife crazy and their children crazy, and all of their family wants to murder the husband. But they have driven for 3 days from Maine to the Grand Canyon. He pulls up to the Grand Canyon, and what does he do? He says, "Stay in the car. I'll take photos." Many people don't know how to enjoy what they do. Well, you say, what should you do? Well, I know what we did. Number one, you take your time. Hello? You're not there for photos. This isn't photo op time. This is time to just do this. Sorry. You don't have to do it with the mouth open, but it helps with your mouth open. Bugs might come in your mouth, but you're just like, oh my goodness. Look at this. Soak it in. Here's one that's harder. Use your words. We'll talk about that in a minute. You got to be able to use words to even express it. I don't have any words, but I still have Rachel's words. What I call her, Rocalita. You know what she did? I can still remember her. She did two phrases about 100 times each. We got out of the car about the same time. Tony and Rachel started towards towards the Grand Canyon, towards the edge. And the first phrase I heard was from Rachel, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." She was experiencing the Grand Canyon. And by the way, when she said that, I'm experiencing the Grand Canyon. You use words. Now, the other phrase wasn't as nice. Tony, don't go close to the edge. Tony, don't go close. He's like 20 feet from the edge. Don't go close to the edge. He's not one of these guys that hangs off the side for photos. What a great time. What a great time. You do it, by the way. Look at me. You don't go to the Grand Canyon by yourself. You go to the Grand Canyon. Why? Because you want to be able to share that with somebody. And you want to be able to talk about that. And you want to be able to talk about your experience. My wife can tell you long stories about how she could run up, going backwards up the mountain this summer in Peru. While I had to ride a horse, she's going backwards running. I mean, you share these experiences. You do it with somebody. And let me say this, Tony and Rachel, good couple to do it with. You spend the day. We got there. Tony and Rachel only had like half a day there. They had to go to a couple other places and go back home. We got there in the morning, and we just started down the one rim, walking. You park your car in the parking lot, and you walk, and we found out you can go all the way to this section to an end. It's a long way down, and they'll have a shuttle bus to bring you back. We spent the whole day chilling, walking, resting, taking pictures, soaking it in. We get way down to the end. I still remember way down at the end. We've been there all day, and we're going to get down where a shuttle brings us back to our vehicle. And we're way down there, and I see a couple. And I look at that couple, and I think, that couple's Filipino. So I just say to them, Jenny knows. I said, Maganangu Magapo. And I still remember, here's people at the Grand Canyon. Looked over this white guy, and they kind of went, you know, I remember that from 15 years ago. Friends, you have to actually enjoy what you're doing. Can I say this? You're talking about Las Vegas over here? Right here, did you hear this? I better move on before Mike gets in trouble. I just want to say this to you, friend. Are you with me? How do you enjoy what God has given you? Wow. In your notes. Psalm 134 is the last of the pilgrim or ascent or journey psalms. And it's all about God and his blessings. So my whole point is, now that you're finally here, you finally arrived. Well, it begins with bless the Lord. That's not a term that I use of the Lord. I think about his blessings, but it's used many times in the Bible that we ascribe blessings to God. Bless the Lord. Behold, now that you're here, bless ye the Lord. In your notes under that, I say this. This is not the climax of activity and doing and striving and organizing and running and paying and how far it is and how much it cost. No, this is about things like this. And everyone look at me. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if it's a church service. I don't care if you're going to the Grand Canyon. Robert and Pearl, you guys went to places that the next time the Lord lets us out there, you went to places we never been to. I'm still jealous of that elbow. What's that place? The curve? And you and Mutia right on top. What is that called? Horseshoe Bend. You don't even know when you were there. He was in love with Mutia because she was there with him. I know what it was. By the way, wow, you're finally here. It makes no difference. You're experiencing what God has in your notes. This is not about busy, busy, busy. Run, run, run. It's about things like this. Bowed heads. What do you do when you bow your heads? Next, grateful hearts. Giving thanks to God for what you're enjoying. Next, still minds. And lastly, restful pulses. You're not, hurry, gotta go. Last week or the week before on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, I literally was almost run over by somebody getting out of here that had no place to go. Take a breather. Enjoy somebody. You guys didn't know the Damerons. A lot of folks here didn't know the Damerons. I didn't know them well, but you know what? It was nice to see somebody that we haven't seen in a week or two. Take your time. No. We're rushing. It's hard to bless the Lord when you're rushing. To bless the Lord means things like this, friend. In this context, it means thinking about God, reflecting on who he is, and giving thanks for what he has done. Let me ask you a serious question. Please look at me. Can you do those things? Can you ever slow down and say, thank you, Lord. This is wonderful. Or is everything we do, look at me, we're running to it, and when we finally get there, we're worried about where we're going next. I said AAA and OCD, they go together. They're people trying to control the world. By the way, you don't control God and you don't control God's blessings. You enjoy them. You have spent a lifetime trying to get to Jerusalem. You're finally there. Oh my goodness, bow your head. Be grateful in one's heart. Let your pulse calm down. Still the mind. Well, number two, you bless the Lord together. Now, I have said as clearly as I'm going to, this could go in two directions. Both directions are true. The text doesn't teach either direction. This could be, and I have it in your notes, it could be about the priest as the servants who lead in the worship, and then we, in the Old Testament era, join in the worship. So we're still worshiping God, but the priest are leading, or it could just be about we are the priest, our servants, who are worshiping the Lord. I tend to focus on the second one. So he says, behold, plural, everything is plural here. Bless, King James, ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Verse 2, lift up your, plural, hands in the sanctuary, and bless, again that's plural, bless the Lord. My everything here is what we do together. I'm not going to read the verses for time. Are you guys ready? Is everyone ready? Look at me. Are you ready? Is your mind still long enough to focus on what C.S. Lewis says about this concept? Nothing is better, I think, ever written by a human. This is what he says. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not be able to tell anyone how good he is. Look at me in the eyes. Do you know me? In this room, 75% of the people have no idea what I'm about. Probably never will, and that's fine. Do you understand me? If I have a friend, do you know what our friendship revolves around? She knows. Do you not know? Discoveries and sharing those discoveries. You read something, and what do you want to do? You want to share it with one of your friends. So Duncan always knows. He's getting a whole inbox of stuff. Tim knows. He gets even more junk. He even gets bad stuff sometimes. You say, well, you discover something. I discovered, this won't apply to most of you, I discovered about a month ago the magician. Robert, do you know who the magician is? Ephraim Bata Reyes. I keep sharing videos. You know why? Because you don't want to just look at it yourself. You want to. Do you understand that? By the way, do you know how bad it is to read something that's just like, wow, and not have someone interested to listen? Have you ever been someplace and said, have you been to this place? And the other person says, yeah, but I was over there. It's much better. Could I say something? You never talk to that person about anything good again. Because we all, part of the expressing of your joy is when you express it with someone else, it makes the joy even greater. We've been down to a wonderful restaurant down by 60 and 21, a little bit west. What's it called? Roma Indian Restaurant. Can I say this? Jenny and I have been there. Have we been there with just ourselves? I cannot remember. We've been there with Satish and his wife and son. I took this guy over here there. Now, Timothy, Mr. Timothy Tom, I'm being serious. The enjoyment was for you to enjoy the food, and the enjoyment was greater, you enjoying it and me enjoying it. Do you understand that? It makes it greater. What if you just go by yourself? Look at me. It's just food. But when you share it, oh, let's read this whole thing again. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. Why in the Bible are we always called to praise God and to give thanks? Because by the very expressing it with other people, it not only expresses, but it completes the joy. It makes it, he says, it is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not to be able to tell anyone how good he is. To come suddenly at the turn of the road upon some mountain valley or of unexpected grandeur, and then to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than for a tin can in the ditch. To hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. The Scotch Catechism, and by the way, this is the Westminster also, and this is a brilliant statement, says the man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But we shall then know that these things are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify, to say something together. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. Yesterday, I got a call from my favorite daughter, my good daughter. She opened up on the phone. I didn't know who it was. It was a Waukegan phone number. I thought, well, I'll answer it. Didn't have the phone. And it was my good daughter. She says, Pastor, I'm in Godfrey, Illinois. So, Isaac, you can tell your mom. She's still gone, I'm assuming, or coming back or something. Isaac's mom, my favorite daughter. She says, Pastor, I'm here. I got some free time. You know, her husband Joel's doing something someplace. I'm not sure what he had to do. He went there for a conference or something. She says, I got some hours. What should I do? Where should I drive? I said, there's only one place you have to drive, and you have to look at me. I said, you got to take your time. You have to drive from Alton to Grafton to Pier Marquette. You have to drive along the Great River Road where you have the bluffs here and you have the mighty Mississippi here. And I said, daughter, take your time and soak it in. You know what's sad? All day, I confess to you, I've been looking for her. Because I want to know where she went. She told me, she didn't tell me much. She texted me sometimes. She said, Pastor, I went into the park, and I went up at the top of the park where you can overlook and see the river systems. She said, I went to two overlooks. Friends, that's about 2 miles from where I grew up. Do you understand sharing something? We praise God. Because without praise, it doesn't work. But we do it together, and it not only completes the praise, it magnifies it all. That's the reason we come together. It's always the together. Well, for time, I better hurry up. I hope you like that as much as me. Doesn't have to be a book. For me, it's a book. So I want to ask you a question. Who are my best friends? I'm not asking names. Who's my best friends? People who read. If you don't read, I can't share that with you, and that's important. By the way, ideas is the world I live in, and I talk to people about ideas. So every single person except one, and I won't say which one, I talk to about ideas. I do have a friend, and you know who it is. He's not an idea person. Everybody else, my daughter calls it the nerd fest. In your notes. Number three, bless the Lord with words. You say, well, duh, Pastor Warren, isn't that obvious? This is the hardest part of it all for me. Notice the language. Bless ye the Lord. Verse 2, and bless the Lord. We'll skip the verse, and I'll go down to the note, thoughts. My thoughts are simple. Use your words. I've heard my daughter say this to Evie about 5,000 times. Use your words. Why? Well, you'll see. Next page. Not only use your words. By the way, I'm making recommendations. Everybody look at me for 1 second. The guy you're looking at is very good at some things. I do not have the language some people have. And from what I can tell, nobody in this room does. Maybe someone like Sparky might. Maybe one of the younger ladies. Having great language skill is very rare. So, friends, you want to use language to express everything. You want to use language to express how you feel. But what if you don't have good words? Well, then you can be helped by this in your notes. Next, use other people's words. How about that? You say, I don't know what you're even talking about. Did we just read somebody tonight? The two people I recommend that you get familiar with their language is Charles Haddon Spurgeon and C.S. Lewis. Both men had ways with language that normal humans don't have. And by the way, you can go a lot further into this. Friends, there are books on the Puritan prayers. Men in the 1600s had a connection with language we don't have. Our connections to language are emojis, you know, shortened sentences. And then you meet people that have this connection with great language. So use your words or use other people's words. Here's a third idea. Borrow words from the great hymns. Do you recognize some of the great hymns have such wonderful language that you can use to express how you feel in your relationship with the Lord and your experiences? And I don't mean just you individually, our experiences. Use your words. Use other people's words. Borrow words from the great hymns. We used to have a man preach here. I look around. Some of you remember him. Some of you wouldn't. Dr. Fred Moritz. Friends, Dr. Moritz, if I called him after church, talked to him for 5 minutes, called him back 5 minutes later, he would have no idea that I talked to him. He has a weird form of dementia. He has no memory right now. But if I ask him anything that happened before about 3 years ago, and look at me, Fred Moritz can quote page after page after page of poetry. His mother was an English teacher in Peoria, and he grew up with poetry. And the language, by the way, I don't have that language. Do you? Sometimes you have to borrow it. Steal it, whatever term. And I don't mean steal, but take it. I would also encourage you this. When you can't use or find the words and the words seem to fail you, mumble and groan on. Because God does understand your mumbling and your groaning. But it's okay, because I believe language elevates us. Language helps us. You know the text in Romans 8. I don't have to read it tonight. An infamous, and by the way, do you know the difference between a famous and infamous? I'm not going to tell you his name. But this statement is very, very profound. He said this, I did not know, to his future wife, I did not know I loved you until I heard myself telling you so. For one instant, I thought, good God, what have I said? And then I knew it was true. There's something about language that does things for us. So friend, whether it's coming to church, whether it's on Monday morning or whenever you get alone with the Lord, Monday night, Monday at lunch, whenever you do it, use your language. We do what we do together. We bless the Lord. We bless him together, and we bless him with words. And if you don't have good words, borrow the words. Take the words from good poetry, good hymns, good theology. Borrow that and use it. There's nothing like it. And you will see, let me say this. Language is a weird thing. The things you start saying start becoming who you are. It's like this. That's what the philosopher was saying, and he is correct. Number four, bless the Lord with all that you are. As they went into the temple, Psalm 134:2 says this, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. We might deal with this Wednesday night. I don't want to talk about this much tonight. Frankly, in America, we play a lot of religious games, and in all cultures. This is not talking about being religious. This is simply saying, you know what, you're using your words, use everything that you are. Can you imagine walking up to your love? We have two lovely young ladies right back here. Someday, not quite yet for you, Brenna, but someday, some guy you meet's going to get the approval of all your uncles here and your dad and your grandpa from heaven, and he's going to walk up to you and he's going to send you flowers, chocolate. Look at me. This is not what he's going to do. Brenna,
I just want you to know that I really love you.
It's wrong with you? What you would do is run, right? When it says lift your hands, it's not doing religion. It's simply saying, when it comes to worshiping and blessing the Lord, just, can I say, I don't mean natural in a weird way, just give God everything. How about this? One of my favorite verses, that's what I'm talking about, I use it to express myself. Bless the Lord in your notes, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his heart. There's just something about using that language and expressing it and using everything. There are many verses in the Bible that talk about lifting hands. Psalm 28:2, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. 63:4, I will lift up my hands in thy name. 141:2, in the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and this is very specific, so I'm going to be very specific. I will therefore that men, that is the word males, it's not anthropos, meaning humans, and it's not tis, just meaning peoples. It is andros, it means males. I will therefore that males pray everywhere, talking about a service, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In my way of thinking, this is what we're talking about. I say in your notes, this is not a performance. So you don't go to church and start doing this. There's none of that nonsense. By the way, if somebody lifts their hands in this service, does it bother me? The answer is absolutely not. But I always wonder why people lift their hands. Are they expecting? You know, it's not a game. It's simply expressing yourself physically. And we do it in many different ways. That's fine. So it's not a performance. Next, it's not an experience. I experience the lift. Oh, come on, it's not about that. Next, this is not for anyone else. So it's not a performance. It's not an experience. It's not for anyone else. Scripture is talking about expressing ourselves. And by the way, when you express yourself within a personality, let's see, Pam, Mike, Jim, Fawn, Mike Rock, you guys, and Lois, it's been a long time since I have seen Esther Dameron. I only knew her for 3 months. Is she expressive? Yes. By the way, that's all I'm talking about. She's expressive. And it's kind of fun, isn't it? I mean, you know, I remember her being very, you know, engaged and vivacious. That's what it's not talking about. Here's the magic. If you really praise God, or by the way, charismatics don't do this, they do this. The leaders, because they're doing, get over that. That's all fake stuff. It's just expressing yourself in any place you are. And by the way, it can happen many places, including church, obviously. Well, next, bless the Lord day and night. It says, behold, bless you the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. I say this is not a checking a box. This is not keeping a schedule. This is really what this is talking about. You have made the trip. Hey, look at me. You mean you went all the way to Jerusalem? Think about this. Next Sunday we'll talk about this. You went all the way to Jerusalem from Persia on foot. It's 1,300 miles. You're Mr. OCD. You get to Jerusalem and you say, I've done my service. Check. Let's go home. I don't think so. Go there. Give it all you got. Spend as much time with the Lord. It's like anything you do like this. Always live as this is the last opportunity and give it God your all night and day. Soak it in. So I say in your notes, this is Pastor Warren. You've made the trip. Now soak it up. Don't just go, I did go to the service one time. Took us 3 months to get there, but I did go to the service. I don't think so. Lastly, we now come full circle. The first two verses focus on what we do when we arrive, so to speak. Worshiping God, bless the Lord, bless him together, bless him with words, bless him with all that you are, bless him day and night, And then, of course, it comes back. Be blessed by the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee. So, you know, friends, you go there, and when you're there blessing the Lord and giving him thanks and glory and enjoying, whether it's his creation or whether it's his church or worship or the cross, in the same time you're giving praise and blessings to God, he then in turn blesses you. We're going to read to conclude Micah 4. Everyone look at me. I'm choosing Micah for a reason. We had a president one time that knew the Bible. It's been a long time. Hello? Trump didn't know what 2 Corinthians was. Biden doesn't even know if there is a Bible. But we had a president one time that wrote one of the most important documents in American history. He wrote that document, and you have seen that document. You brought me a copy of that document. And he must have heard this passage because, friend, this is in the millennium and beyond. But there's a verse that he quotes to the Jewish synagogue in Providence, Rhode Island. Read with me. Micah. But in the last days, by the way, we're not in the last days. For all of you that were here this morning, Revelation 21 in Sunday school, remember I said everything connects? We're back to the same thing because in the future, Jerusalem's going to be the center. Our worship of God has that Zion, Jerusalem orientation. But in the last days, it will literally be the geographical, military, political, religious center of earth. In the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, comparing kingdoms to mountains and hills. And the people shall flow in this weird, it's going to be at the top, but the stuff, look, it's going to flow up to it, going to flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Here it is, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make him afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Everyone look at me and I'm finished. Look at me. President George Washington wrote a letter to the synagogue, the Touro Synagogue in Providence, Rhode Island, in the late 1700s, and he quoted that verse. And we now have a president that doesn't care much about Jewish people at all. I want to say this to you. You're finally there. Look at me. You're finally there. Do me a favor. Take a breather. Chill out a little bit. Calm down. Enjoy what God gives you. Suck it in. Soak it in. Drink it up. Use your words. Use other people's words. Express it. Share it. There's nothing better than a great meal that you share with people you love. Because for years you can talk about something. Listen, I love Tim over here, Timothy Tom. Everybody knows that. But the funniest thing is that I went there to a buffet and I had one small plate. No, I had a plate and a half. And Timothy had 4. True, Tim? Is that true? But by the way, was I angry? Look at me. No, because you know why? He enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed every minute of it. And we enjoyed our time together. And listen, and the being together, being grateful for what God's given us, makes the enjoyment greater. That's what the psalmist says. Now you're finally here. Enjoy it. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name.